While most of Washington returns to the traditional fall schedule today, Congress won't return for another week. And when members do get back, they won't have much time to get any budget work done before the fiscal year ends on September 30th. For what is likely to occupy Congress, we turn to senior staff writer at The Hill newspaper, Scott Wong. Scott, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. So give us a quick review of the congressional calendar that as it exists between now, or I guess we should say September 8th when they get back, and the end of the fiscal, which is September 30th.
Well, right. It's actually a very narrow window that Congress has to get anything done, really. They're getting antsy and want to get back to their districts ahead of the elections. But the first priority when they get back next Monday will be to get a deal on a short-term a spending bill, a CR. And Republican leaders say this time they want nothing to do with a government shutdown. There's a few in the party who are raising the prospects of a possible shutdown, like the one we saw last year, over objections to Obamacare. But I think the Republican leaders know that a shutdown this year, right before the election, would be a major distraction, and especially as they try to win back control of the Senate and pick up more seats in the House.
Now, traditionally, the House does a lot more of its budget work than the Senate. In fact, the Senate hasn't passed any bills, so there's nothing to even go to conference with. And of course, the Senate is controlled on the Democratic side. So that means what you're saying is then we can definitely expect a CR, as far as anyone can tell at this point.
I think at this point, the chances of a CR, it would probably be something like a 3-month CR that takes us into December. The chances look pretty good, given, like I said, that parties don't want a distraction heading into the election. I think once we get past the election, I think the budget process, the regular budget process, can start moving forward. And I know appropriators want to see a 2015 appropriation bills get done before the lame duck session is over. Try to get back to some resemblance of regular order. So we can expect, work to really pick up, I think, after November.
Because the appropriations chair in the Senate, Barbara Mikulski, is a great champion of the federal workforce, and so many of them live in her state, and is always talking about the need to help the federal workforce, and she supported the 1% pay raise that the president supported, and yet she can't seem to get anything in terms of normal order of appropriations through any time leading up to September 30th.
Well, she does seem to be, one of the lone voices out there, saying, let's try to get perhaps an omnibus bill done in the next several weeks for 2015, but I think most realists on Capitol Hill know this would be a really heavy lift. They see, any sort of omnibus bill passing Congress before the election as wishful thinking. Remember, Republicans, they want to wait and see whether they can take back the Senate before they make any big, longer-term decisions on spending. So I think really the more likely scenario is that lawmakers pass, a 2.5-3 month CR, and then after the election really try to tackle that omnibus.
Okay, and what about defense budgets? Because what happens to them if a CR is passed? In other words, what does all of this do in light of sequestration, which we'll review what the status of that is at this point for 2015?
I'm not too clear on what the defense budgets are going to look like in 2015, but I think given the foreign policy challenges right now and the terror threats around the world, from Russia to Syria to Iraq, there's an argument you'll be hearing from defense appropriators that defense budgets really need to be the priority, that we need to fully fund the Pentagon and give our troops some certainty as they deal with these threats around the world.
All right. Well, I guess so the CR means that they'll get what it is they've been getting. And also there's a overseas contingency operations budget that has been put forth. So that's likely to probably what they'll use to justify whatever action is taken outside of Afghanistan in the coming year.
I think that's right. I mean, and the other thing is there's going to be a number of other issues that are on Congress's plate as they head back into town here. I mean, the Congress didn't deal with the immigration issue, the child migrant crisis at the border. There's the Export-Import Bank is just days away from going out of business. Its charter has to be reauthorized by Congress by September 30th. There's an Internet Tax Freedom Act that Congress will have to deal with that expires on November 1st. So, again, it's really a full plate of issues that Congress has to deal with and not a whole lot of time.
We're speaking with Scott Wong. He's a senior writer at the Hill newspaper. So, yeah, you listed quite a laundry list of things. What do you think they will do first? I thought the foreign policy might be the initial thing, simply because of what they were talking about on all the talk shows over the weekend. Even though they're not in Washington, a lot of members weighed in. A delegation went to Israel to talk to them from the Foreign Relations Committee of the House. So what do you think will be first?
I think these international issues that have flared up over the summer certainly are front of mind for a lot of these lawmakers. They're dominating the news right now. There's, Britain has raised the terror levels. President Obama is heading overseas, I believe, today for a series of meetings in the Baltics, and then heads to the UK for a NATO summit. So, obviously, the focus is going to continue to be on ISIS and the threats coming from Iraq and Syria. So far the president has been notifying Congress about what he calls very limited airstrikes in Iraq to protect U.S. personnel on the ground and for humanitarian reasons. But there's also a bipartisan group of lawmakers led by Democrats Barbara Lee and Jim McGovern and Republican Walter Jones of North Carolina who say the scope of this mission has really expanded and now requires congressional approval. So that's really going to be the debate on this topic when they get back into town is, whether Congress needs to take some action and give the president approval and more authority to carry out airstrikes out there.
And you mentioned earlier, too, that there's the possibility that the Senate could change hands, and without handicapping that, because I don't think anyone can really tell at this point, what generally happens in the days leading up to that if both sides feel that could happen? How do they act differently than they do if they know that they're going to hang on to their majority, whichever party it happens to be?
Well, it's, I'm thinking back to when the House changed hands back in 2010. We did have a lame duck session where there were some bills that got passed by the previous party who held power. A lot of must-pass bills did get done, but I also remember there were big fights on the floor. I think it's really a toss-up about when a chamber does change hands, what actually can get done. I remember there were big fights over the Dream Act, which did not pass on a particular day, and then there were changes to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which did make its way through Congress. So I think it's really a mixed bag when you see a new party take control of a chamber.
And what about that 1% pay raise that the president proposed over the weekend? I guess he chose Labor Day weekend to propose that, which is something he can do administratively. Congress can block it, or they can up it a little bit. Any thoughts? Have you heard anything about what they're thinking about that, if in fact any of them are?
I think, from the Republican perspective, they're seeing this as Election Day politics. The president and the vice president were out in the country talking about labor issues, talking about raising the minimum wage, talking about gender equality when it comes to pay equity. And I think this was, you know, a very minor raise. I think 1% for federal workers, a very minor raise in the grand scheme of things, but a symbolic one and one that fits into the president's overall campaign strategy this year, which was to use, you know, like you said, the pen and pad to carry out these executive orders in the face of what he sees as Republican obstruction on Capitol Hill. So I think this very much fit into his overall campaign strategy.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. We've got another week left, correct?
Yeah, we got one more week of this 5-week summer recess. And then I think they're only back for a couple weeks before they head out of town again and hit the campaign trail.